Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today we move into the second section of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You may recall from yesterday's broadcast that there are three sections in this chapter. In the first one, we concluded on the broadcast yesterday, it is a sampling of Old Testament examples of the people of God failing to live up to their privileges and to their profession, and how disastrous that failure was. Not just a little minor thing, it was the difference between heaven and hell. That's how serious it is. And so this warning was given by Paul to the New Testament people in Corinth who claimed to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. And when you justify your failure and your living in sin rather than living like a Christian, don't say that the temptations were greater than you could bear, because there is no temptation that has taken you but is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above that you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's the first section. The second section is entitled, in my Bible, Flee from Idolatry. Flee from idolatry. That's how the passage opens in verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Well, we can certainly see how that has relevance for Paul's day among people who were saved out of idolatry. But does that have any relevance for us today? Probably nobody who's listening to my voice has participated, or maybe very few of you have ever participated in actual idol worship, where you had little stone or precious metal gods, carvings, wood or stone or something else that you prayed to, that you offered gifts to, sacrifices to of various kinds. That's not very common in America today, and so it would be very easy for us to say, well, we can skip this section, it doesn't apply to us. But I think we need to look at it a little more thoughtfully than that. There's really nothing in God's Word that doesn't apply to us. All Scripture, A-L-L, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All of it. For at least one or more of these things. Doctrine, reproof, and I've forgotten what the others are in that list. For doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. There's something else in there that I've missed. That these things are given for. Every part of God's Word is given for a reason. And so we can profit from this section as well. And may God help us to do so. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, January 11th. Thank you for supporting us with the gifts necessary to keep the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Well, we'll begin by examining how fleeing from idolatry relates to the believers in Paul's day, and then consider how it relates to us today. Now, please remember that what Paul is doing in this chapter is answering questions from the Corinthian church. And some of those questions that have even come up prior to chapter 10 relate to the question of eating meat that has been offered to idols. That was a big issue in Corinth in Paul's day. These people saved out of pagan idolatry had friends and neighbors who were still worshiping the idolatrous gods which they used to worship. And a lot of the social life of their community was connected with meals that were held in honor to these gods, many times meals that were eaten at the temple, just like we commonly have fellowship meals in our churches today. They had what we might call fellowship meals in the idols' temples, and they were invited to these meals. It was a social gathering, but the food that they ate would always have been dedicated to the god that was represented in that temple before they partook of the meal. Should a Christian participate in that, or should they not? And in chapter 8, Paul addressed that question and said, there is nothing inherently wrong with eating this meat, and he tells us why. Nothing inherently wrong with it. But now, coming back in chapter 10, he has an additional thought, some additional instructions to add to this. And he says there's some things seriously wrong with eating meat in pagan temples. So even though there's nothing inherently wrong with eating this meat, in other words, the meat's not contaminated and your eating the meat is not going to contaminate you. It's not the act of eating it, not the act of putting this particular food in your body that has been dedicated to an idol. But there are certain associations and connotations that you have to be aware of, and when those are involved, it very well may be a sinful thing. So there's a fine line to be able to separate what is valid and what is invalid, but it is not nitpicking. There are important distinctions that need to be made because they come with some serious implications. So we begin with the general command in verses 14 and 15. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The idolatry of the Old Testament Israel had been referred to in the first section of this chapter, so there's a connection. That's why verse 14 begins with the word therefore. It connects with what has gone before. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Why? Because that was one of the problems in Old Testament Israel among the people of God who were supposed to be worshipers of Jehovah God, who did not worship idols, but we read in verse 7, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That was one of the list of several things, several transgressions that the Old Testament people of God engaged in that brought God's judgment upon them. Therefore, because this happened to them, we read another statement of therefore conclusion in verse 11, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And now we come to another one in verse 14, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. The example of Old Testament Israel being sucked into idolatrous practices, which became a recurring failure, ensnared to them, is very easily a snare, a temptation, into which the Christians in Corinth may fall. There was idolatry in Old Testament Israel. There was certainly idolatry in the city of Corinth, because it permeated their society. And it was the background from which the majority of the members of that church were saved, and that idolatry is intertwined with the community social life. They were all in the midst of it, and therefore is the subject of questions that were directed to Paul. We go back to chapter 8, verse 1, and we read these words by Paul, now concerning things offered to idols. We know that we all have knowledge and so forth, and he goes on and addresses this question. Now I'm taking up the question of things concerning the question of things offered to idols. That's my subject in chapter 8, and it comes up again in chapter 10. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Paul addresses them as believers. He addresses them as my beloved, that is, my beloved brethren. His tender affection is declared, and he has a strong and warm love and loving concern, love for them and loving concern for their welfare. But even though they are his beloved brethren, that doesn't keep him from issuing a strong command. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. And Paul is saying the only effective remedy for some seductive temptations is to get out of Dodge. Get out of there. You don't tolerate idolatry, at least in the form that is being described in chapter 10. You don't compromise with idolatry, but you flee from it. He doesn't even say, my beloved brethren, fight against idolatry. He says, flee from it. And if you'll study the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll realize that Paul didn't really fight idolatry as such. You don't find him going into a city and starting a crusade against idolatry. He just, and organizing against it, we've got to expose idolatry. We've got to tear down the temples of idolatry. We've got to remove the idols. We've got to smash all the idols in town and so forth. As some people, no doubt, would think is the proper remedy today. That's not what Paul did. Paul just preached the gospel. Paul just preached the truth about God, God being an invisible God that cannot be represented with images made with human hands. And when the truth about God took hold in people's lives, then they abandoned their idols. And they recognized that you cannot worship God with images. They understood why God told his Old Testament people, "You shall not make unto you any graven images. You shall not make any likeness that you will construct and call a God. I, the Lord God, I, Jehovah God, I, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, forbid that. I cannot be worshipped that way. I will not be worshipped that way. I will not tolerate those who insist that they must have something visual and sensual in the sense of being able to feel it, to see it and touch it and feel it. I will not be worshipped in this way. It is contrary to my nature. It is contrary to who I am. It misrepresents me. You cannot worship me that way. You cannot honor me that way. I will not accept such worship. I forbid such worship." But as I say, Paul didn't go into a town and start crusading against idols. He just preached the truth, and wherever the gospel took hold in hearts, idols were put away in that home, in that heart, in that life. But the question kept coming up in their relationship with others, members of their family who had not embraced the gospel, members of their community who had not embraced the gospel. They were constantly confronted with idols and idolatrous practices, and Paul is helping them to understand the proper way to behave in that situation. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.